Missed an episode of your favorite podcast? Choose from over a decade of content in our archives. Not just the latest episode. All free at GCNlive.com.
In these United States. Hey, everybody. Kate Delaney, America Tonight. Where would we be without a conversation about the weather? And the weather in Washington, I'll jump to that, having just got off of a plane from Washington, D.C. a few hours ago, and they were talking about the weather, closing everything in sight, hurrying up on some votes. Can you imagine actually getting some things done in Congress? Because they were seeing what the weather was going to bring. And sure enough, there are millions that are in the path of this storm, and including in Texas, where there is ice and there is snow. I just went out and took a measurement, and we're talking serious inches. And where it ends up, I don't know, but it's almost like an East Coast snowstorm, which is crazy wild, folks. I got to tell you, for everybody listening to us in Florida, my relatives down there always tell me what the temperatures are, but wistfully kind of missing some of that snow. It's the good kind of chunky flakes that are dropping, those kinds of flakes. But I have to say, flying in and flying right over the city of Dallas, because you know our satellite facility is in Dallas, Texas, it was pretty scary. The plane kind of rocking in a couple of different directions, and a few people gasping. Of course, I wasn't one of them. I was just white-knuckling, holding the seat in front of me. But, it was fine. The landing was great, and the pilot nailed the landing. But you could see that ice was really starting to form all over the place. And speaking of not thawing out, there still is that big line over what's going to happen with affordable health care. And we've been bringing you all sides of this because I was determined that let's hear everybody out on it. Let's hear what some people have to say about the subsidies. Let's hear some of those stories. And, you know, one of the things, and the Republicans are saying this, one of the things that you also don't want to see happen, but unfortunately what has happened is the middle class has gotten squeezed by this. So you have families, just like in my family, where pre-existing condition, once that didn't matter, well, thumbs up, that was good on one half of my family, but then the other half got clobbered to death with suddenly higher premiums, and not just, oh, 30 bucks here, no, hundreds. And, of course, ultimately the deductibles are big, unless you want to pay an even bigger premium, which you can do, but that almost doubles it. So how do you bring the cost down? How do you unite people on this front of, yeah, we do want affordable health care. Yeah, we do want people who are sick to go to the doctor instead of getting cancer where it's untreatable and it's too late or something else happens. So somewhere mired in the we're not giving an inch in one direction, we're not giving an inch in another direction, is the answer. And what's going to happen with the decision on the Supreme Court oral arguments, King versus Burwell, which were heard on Wednesday, 85 minutes. That's how long it took in the courtroom. There wasn't really any giant highlights of somebody muffing up or on either side not presenting their case. But the Supreme Court is divided on whether to curtail subsidies. For sure, we know that under Obamacare, Chief Justice John Roberts and Justice Anthony Kennedy, some were saying that were handicapping this for me as I was taping, it was on the air, that they're looking at is, because Roberts, who cast the decisive vote in favor of Obamacare in 2012, was very quiet during the oral arguments. So it's kind of a mystery. He's a looming question mark, and I think that's intentional. He didn't want to give anything away. He practiced his best poker face while sitting there on the court. So supporters of Obamacare really viewed Roberts as the best hope for winning King versus Burwell, which, again, would strip the insurance subsidies from millions of people who live in states that are served by the federal exchange only, healthcare.gov. But he really was playing that poker face. So a lot of the attention centered on Kennedy, who could be the swing vote, who often is a swing vote, who told the law's challengers he saw a serious constitutional problem with their argument. And Kennedy really wasn't seen as any kind of a gettable vote for the administration, because remember, he voted to strike down health care in its entirety in 2012. So now what's going on with that? If only we had a crystal ball, and that's what we're trying to figure out, right? And the case centers around, in case you don't know this, because there's so many aspects to that crazy thick law, the case centers around a single phrase in the Affordable Care Act established by the state that the challengers say should limit tax subsidies only to states that set up their own insurance marketplaces. The lawsuit, backed by conservative groups, include the Competitive Enterprise Institute. They've reopened the political debate over the healthcare law, and now the Supreme Court has to sort it out. And what direction will they go in? What direction will the robes fall? Where will they fall? And we won't know till June, and right before they take off. Right before they take off. I mean, at one point during the 85 minutes, Justice Alito said it's not too late for states to set up their own insurance exchanges, and even suggested the court could delay when its ruling takes effect to buy Congress time for finding a solution. And we all know how great Congress is with Band-Aids. Hey, we'll give you 6 months, and then you can figure out what you can do with those poor people that you just shove out into the cold after giving them that subsidy. So they're the people who desperately need it. But then you squeeze out the middle class and make their health care unaffordable. So there has to be something in between this. And really thinking that Congress, he must be kidding himself, thinking that Congress is going to come up with some sort of answer, I don't think so. I don't think so. Hey, coming up on America Tonight, going to introduce you to another whistleblower, this time on the insurance industry. It was such a delight to spend time with him, because I think anybody that's, you know, doing okay, worked their way through school, bootstrapped it, whatever, and then they're on the job, and it starts to eat at them because they see the things that are happening that are wrong and decide, you know what, even if it's the ultimate sacrifice, I'm going to just make that leap. I'm going to make that leap. And I don't think we do enough to protect whistleblowers, even though there's a Whistleblower Act. If you really dig deep, you find out that it's not enough. And there are so many things that go into making someone come forward to their, you know, in light of their own peril. So that's coming up on America Tonight. Hang with us. Of a pharmacist who discourages the use of most prescription drugs? Well, pharmacist Ben Fuchs is that person, and boy, is he fascinating. He's a nutritional pharmacist and skincare specialist who operates out of Boulder, Colorado, and to hear this man speak is nothing less than inspiring, because he's charismatic and makes a lot of sense. He asks, why take dangerous drugs when all your body needs to stay healthy is all natural with no side effects? Pharmacist Ben sees the human body as a healing and regenerating system, divinely designed to heal and renew itself on a moment-to-moment basis. but it needs nutrition and nutritional supplementation. Ben says you've got to be on a nutritional supplement program if you want to be healthy in 21st century America, and he wants to help people get off the toxic drug treadmill and get on a good nutritional supplement program. I support what pharmacist Ben is saying and doing to help America get healthier, and I urge you to watch and listen to Ben deliver his powerful message at your convenience. Just go to AmericaTonightTeam.com. That's AmericaTonightTeam.com.
Mike Stenerson from Midas Resources. At no time in history have precious metals been more important, certainly not in my 22 years in the industry. The dollar has lost over 90% of its value in the last 60 years. No fiat currency has ever survived the government printing presses. Ours is not immune. The time is now to be proactive. 1-800-686-2237, extension 116. Anything tied to the dollar is at risk. CDs, annuities, 401ks, IRAs, stocks, bonds, you name it. So decide. Do you want to leave a legacy of wealth or debt for your family? The choice is yours. Call me at 1-800-686-2237, extension 116. That's 1-800-686-2237, extension 116. Be proactive, not reactive. Call 1-800-686-2237, extension 116.
The Freeze Dry Guy presents Freeze Dried Turkey, Freeze Dried Ham, and the No Bake Casserole Unit February Sale. Listen, if you trust the Freeze Dry Guy, as thousands have for their emergency food supply since 1970, don't wait to hear how great this deal is, because it's unlimited supply. Call 866-404-3663 and ask for our new Turkey and Ham Unit. Normal retail price, $359.94. Sale price, $251.94. You save $108. And it's chock full of high-quality, great-tasting Freeze Dried Diced Turkey and Ham from Mountain House. The gold standard in long-term storage products. Or get the Freeze Dry Guy's No Bake Casserole Unit. 153 servings per case at normal retail price of $215.94. Sale price $172.75. You save $43.19. But supplies are limited, and we always pay shipping right to your door within the lower 48 states. Call 866-404-3663 and make freezedryguy.com a favorite and check for monthly specials. Don't miss the Freeze Dry Guy's February sale. Call 866-404-3663 or visit freezedryguy.com.
Yep, we're back on Radio Row, Families USA, across from the Supreme Court. And today, of course, is a big day because of King versus Burwell. We're talking about the subsidies portion of the Affordable Care Act. And throughout the show, you'll hear some of the people that I talked to today and some of their stories and what it would mean to their health care. We know that health care, I don't care what your ideology, is a very, very personal thing. It's fine when it's smooth sailing and nothing's wrong, and then suddenly something happens to a family member and you get blindsided, and then that's when it hits the fan and you have to deal with the system. Very pleased to welcome to the show Wendell Potter. And what's cool about Wendell is, and I want to make sure I got the decades right, but at least 20 years as a corporate public relations executive. But this is the key thing. He was the head of communications for Cigna, which of course is one of the country's largest health insurers. And Wendell knows personally what it's been like. He covered testimony before the Senate Commerce, Science, and Technology Committee in June of 2009, and he disclosed how insurance companies, as part of their efforts to boost profits, have engaged in practices that have resulted in millions of Americans being forced into the ranks of the uninsured. In other words, the shortcut to this is he is a whistleblower, and we have had many, many brave whistleblowers on America Tonight from different fields and for different reasons. Wendell, welcome to the show.
Kate, thanks very much.
So take me back to that, because I think that's very significant. What was it after 20 years? Is it you saw too many things that were happening to people and you said, I just can't do this anymore?
Well, it's exactly what happened. And I also saw that the insurance industry was becoming more and more anti-consumer and more focused on rewarding shareholders than it was looking after the best interests of people who were depending on them to get coverage for care. care that they needed. They were pushing more and more people into high deductible plans, for example, and they were declaring more and more people uninsurable. Then they would refuse the sale coverage to people just because they've been sick in the past. And I realized that that was the one that was probably, and it was the biggest reason why we had 50 million people without insurance. And but it took a trip back home to Tennessee, where I'm from, to come face to face with what I was doing for a living and have a crisis of conscience. I went back to visit family, and I picked up the newspaper while I was there and read about something called the Healthcare Expedition that was being held at a nearby county fairgrounds. And I went there, and I saw something that I just never would have expected to see in the United States. I saw people who were standing in incredibly long lines waiting to get care in barns and animal stalls because this was a county fairgrounds. And I realized at that moment that I was part of the problem. Because of what I was doing, I was trying to preserve the status quo that worked very well for insurance companies but was not working for the American people.
And I can only imagine, but what was the reaction when you took that initial step?
Well, it was a very scary one. I decided to quit my job without another one to go to. I ultimately decided to be an advocate for reform, and I spent a lot of time here in Washington representing the interest of consumers, not the interest of insurance companies, as I had for 20 years. And I expected a lot of pushback from my former colleagues. I'm fortunate I didn't get as much pushback as I thought, and I think the reason for that is because of the knowledge I had of the industry.
Right.
I knew where the bodies were buried, and I knew the media as well, too, because the job that I had, I worked with good reporters who knew me and knew that I was a person of integrity, even though during the course of the time that I worked in the industry, I took my job very seriously of working with the news media.
Yeah. So that happens, and take us forward. Then what? You decide you're going to be the advocate for healthcare and do whatever you can to help people?
I did, and I still do it. I wrote a book, as you noted, Deadly Spin. And in fact, I've written another book called Obamacare, What's in It for Me, What Everyone Needs to Know About the Affordable Care Act.
Yeah, there you go.
Which I hope people will get. It's an e-book on Amazon. It's very inexpensive, and it explains in simple language what is all about the Affordable Care Act and how it benefits us.
Do you think that's part of the problem? There's massive confusion?
Because
I thought,
yes.
So one thing for sure, I mean, forget whether you're Democrat, Republican, can't stand anybody, whatever, you're Libertarian.
Right.
I think part of the problem was the rollout, not even the technical side, but that people didn't understand. It's confusing anyway, as you know, in the insurance business. So that could have been done better, perhaps, and that might have, maybe it would have offset some of the controversy anyway.
Exactly right. I've been a critic of the administration and the Democrats in Congress as much as anybody because I think they really botched it when they passed this bill. It was so complex, which it has to be because we get a very complex healthcare system, but they did a very lousy job, and they're still doing a lousy job of explaining what this bill is, what this law is, and how it affects people.
Yeah. Here's the thing. So you worked in the insurance industry, the status quo. You saw what happened. You're a whistleblower. What do you think the insurance companies need to do? And are they the bad guys in all of this?
You know, they're not. They're not necessarily the only bad guys. I don't call them the bad guys. They're all working in a system that really doesn't work. And it's a system that is unlike any other system in the world. We have a system in which we are spending far more for health care than any other country on the planet, far, far more. But our outcomes are worse. And we have not been able to achieve universal access, as every other developed country has. We need to do a lot more to structure the system that we have. And the way it is now, a lot of hospitals are doing very well financially. Insurance companies are doing very well financially. The bottom line is the bottom line, because these companies are more interested in making money, in making profits, than they are in meeting the needs of people.
So today, as I was mentioning, and you obviously know, and that's why we're here, the Supreme Court hears the oral arguments, King versus Burwell. What happened? Well, first of all, what's your gut? Because you've been around this game. What's your gut tell you about this court? Letter of the law, it stays, or political feelings, even though we know you're not supposed to have feelings? does it go down? What do you think happens?
I think that we'll see that a majority of the justices will say that the government's right on this, that the government, the Congress did not intend for the subsidies to be paid only in the states that set up their own exchanges. It doesn't make any sense. So I think that the justices will agree with the government. I think they also will see that if they don't, it'll result in incredible chaos. People will lose their insurance, they'll lose access to care, and that's going to be catastrophic for the country.
Yeah. Thank you so much for coming by, Wendell. I appreciate it. And
pleasure.
So happy there's people like you on the planet that take the step, because that was a bold step that you took, and good for you.
Thank you very much.
Thanks.
Take care.
All right, you got to love that. Really, my heart goes where the whistleblower goes, because you heard what he said. He saw the nonsense that was happening and decided, yeah, that's it, once he went to Tennessee and saw what was going on with people. And also, he was critical of the Democrats, saying that they didn't do this right. They're still not doing it right. People don't understand and have no clue on some of the things that are happening with the Affordable Care Act, a.k.a. Obamacare. So shame on them. He said that, you know, obviously several times. Now, here's the key thing. What is going to happen? And I asked a lot of people to handicap this for me. What's going to happen in June? Because that's when the decision will come down. And a lot of people, after this 85-minute session, because that's what it was, that were in the court say that Justice Roberts, who certainly is a conservative who was put on the court by George W. Bush, didn't have really any kind of meter as to how he would vote by what he said. Now, Justice Alito said that if the court rules in favor of the challenge, there is a chance that the tax credits could remain in place for 2015 because the government wouldn't have time to clear up the law and make it legal. So the people that currently have those subsidies wouldn't immediately lose that coverage. Well, of course, that makes sense. That would be ridiculous. And Republicans are saying, look, we're looking at alternatives, because that's also part of the criticism. If something were to go away, what definitively can be done immediately? What can be implemented? And Ted Cruz, who's never shy about jumping into the fray, the senator from Texas, said that the administration did nothing to prepare for this upcoming Supreme Court decision that could leave millions of Americans unable to afford insurance because of the law that failed. And he says, we've got to offer the American people alternatives that lower costs, break the status quo, you know, that favors big business and big healthcare business over the average hardworking, he didn't even say average, he said hardworking Americans. And he said he's sticking to his guns, which this is what he was elected on. He said, saying every last word of Obamacare has to be repealed. And while we continue that fight, we have to send the bill after bill again to the president's desk to stop its effects. So saying not backing down. But Justice Roberts is really probably going to be the swing vote again on this one. Much more coming your way next here on America Tonight.
What good is a big Berkey water filter?
We get that question a lot here at BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com. And in a word, the answer is protection. Protection from water main breaks, E. coli contamination, environmental chemical spills, pesticide runoff, chlorine taste and smell, and all forms of fluoride. Plus, Big Berkey water filters are the original gravity water filter system and most trusted on the market for a reason. Tested by multiple independent NSF EPA certified labs, they are the gold standard in water purification. At only 1.7 cents a gallon, a single set of filters can last for 5 to 10 years. That means big savings. Big Berkey, the one that's powerful enough to purify stagnant pond water. Get a Big Berkey today at BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com. GCN listeners receive 5% off all ceramic filter systems. Visit our website or call 1-877-99-BERKEY. That's 877-99-BERKEY. Big Berkey Water Filters, for the love of clean water.
Free from the shackles of corporate America, we're the place for independent thinkers. GCN. The Genesis Communications Network is one of America's premier broadcasters of captivating talk radio. We thank you for listening. Now, just imagine, there are thousands of people who are just as passionate about radio as you are. But what you may not realize is how easy and affordable it is to advertise with us. Radio commercials for your business could be heard on hundreds of radio stations across the U.S. every day. We can help you by creating an effective radio advertising campaign for your company. From script writing to producing your commercial, just like the one you're listening to right now, no other network provides the level of customer service we do. When it comes to radio advertising, we are your one-stop shop. And no matter how big or small your business is, we can help. Email us at advertise@gcnlive.com and an experienced advertising executive will help you take the first step towards driving more customers to your business or website. Advertise@gcnlive.com. Easy, affordable, effective.
Spend your life with Extendovite.
Here is what one doctor has to say about Extendovite.
I would like to thank you, Don, for making my job so much easier, because your products just make it so simple, right, to fool around with a lot of exotic things that don't work. We can just put them on your product and things start to work almost right away. I've had dozens of patients with heart problems who have corrected them, and what it's doing, there's so much garlic in there that has a yeast-killing effect. The yeast is a big problem in the gut, pushes the liver hard. It also has metal chelating effect, and most of the other herbs in there find that strengthen the arteries. They help to neutralize free radicals. Your remedy close to what we do in our program as you can get as far as one supplement goes. It's working on the gut. It's working on the liver. It's working on the arteries. What more can you ask for?
To get your Extendivite, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
Attention listeners, SurvivalLife.com is giving away free EverStrike permanent matches for a limited time only. These matches are waterproof and will light in any weather condition, rain, snow, or sleet. It will still throw a spark. Its built-in ferro rod strikes at 3,000 degrees, and it is good for 15,000 strikes. Normally, $15. Today, it's free. Get yours at FreeSurvivalLighter.com. Again, that's FreeSurvivalLighter.com. Hurry, supplies are limited. Visit FreeSurvivalLighter.com today.
This is David Cordani, CEO of Cigna. For more than 20 years, Cigna has worked with the March of Dimes to address premature births in the U.S. Thank you for taking time to learn more about how you could support March for Babies in 2015. Premature births cause horrible suffering and cost billions of dollars each year. That's why Cigna is committed to raising funds and awareness through our employees, family, and friends to improve the health of moms and babies. Please join us in supporting the March for Babies. Start your team today at marchforbabies.org.
Back to Radio Row, Families USA, across from the Supreme Court, as I've been talking about. And today, the big oral arguments, King versus Burwell, and what does that mean? It's the subsidies issue. And it's about money, because it is about health, but it is so hand-in-hand with money. It is so personal. I always say, nobody wants to talk about their finances, and a lot of times people don't want to talk about their health either. But unfortunately, sometimes when you don't talk about your health and your health care, you end up in a precarious situation, and we certainly have seen that many, many times. Chris Armstrong joins us now, and he's the Director of Partnerships and Government Affairs, Small Business Majority. Chris, thanks for coming on the show.
Thank you for having me.
So your angle in this, explain what the Small Business Majority feels, because that means probably, right, the entrepreneurs, people who don't have employee-based health care. A lot of times they might be one or two person business, or they're growing, yeah, but they can't really do the employer health care stuff. So what does it mean to those people?
Absolutely. So we're Small Business Majority, we're a small business health a policy and advocacy organization that focuses a lot on healthcare. We have a network of 40,000 small business owners across the country that we represent and do organizing and roundtables with on a regular basis. And what we've seen overwhelmingly from a business owner perspective is that they're very pragmatic people, and they're not ideological. And what that sort of translates as is, business owners overwhelmingly want to be able to provide health care for their employees. So you have, you know, sort of two sets of, if you're thinking about this in sort of two different ways, you're thinking about this as, you know, the folks who are under 50 employees who our business network is under 100 employees, so they're really the small business owners, but folks who are under 50 employees who provide health care to their employees. And you also have sort of the entrepreneurs, the sort of self-employed people, mm-hmm. who, you know, before the healthcare law, didn't have access to health insurance.
Mm-hmm.
And so what we see on a daily basis is, one, this huge demand for business owners to provide health care for their employees.
Right.
And they just want information. They want practical, pragmatic information. They don't want to hear ideological spewing of why this is bad for business or why this is. They want to know, okay, how can I provide in an affordable way healthcare to my employees?
Right.
And the ACA has done that. Through this Small Business Health Options Program, which provides healthcare for small business owners who are looking to provide healthcare for their employees, and that does not have a deadline. There's no February 15th cutoff. That there's currently, you can go on to healthcare.gov and as a small business owner and sign up for health insurance and see what's affordable.
Can those business owners, if they're just a solo, you know, they're starting a business, would that also apply to them, or it depends?
So unfortunately, those folks are mostly fall under the individual marketplace. Mm. So that deadline unfortunately has passed. But, you know, Secretary Burwell announced, you know, 2 weeks ago the 11.4 million Americans who signed up for health insurance. And a huge contingent of those folks are small business owners who before this had just sort of had to rely on them making a certain amount of money, more money in fact, a year, in order to provide themselves some sort of health care. And oftentimes they just sort of forgot it.
Wow.
And now they have an opportunity and avenue to do so.
So what happens, and I ask everybody this question, you know, I say this on my show, we have left of left, right of right, people that are just discouraged about politics, but cutting through the ideology of it all, what does it mean if the Supreme Court rules for the plaintiff, in other words, and the subsidies go away? What does that mean for small businesses?
So, a few things. One, you know, I mentioned that, you know, business owners want to provide health care to their employees, right?
Mm-hmm.
And these are people who, you know, they know everything about their employees. They know their mothers, their fathers, their wives, their children. They know everything about their employees, particularly whether or not they have health care. And so, it's going to be less affordable for a lot of folks, and it's going to be something that's going to, a lot of business owners might have to choose to forego providing insurance. They might have to sort of, you know, we might see them directing their employees to sort of those more expensive plans because it's the only option they have. That we saw before the Affordable Care Act was enacted. So it's going to be harder for a lot of Americans. And something else that's really fascinating is there's this phenomenon called job lock,
mm-hmm.
where employees choose to stay in a business or stay in a certain job because of the availability of health care and the fact that they've got care at the job. And, you know, that is so often a hindrance to, you know, folks who have, you know, an entrepreneurial spirit or have an idea, a crazy idea, to go out there and start their own business. And so we've seen how that has sort of freed up. And, in fact, Robert Wood Johnson Foundation put out a report some time ago that said almost 1.5 million people as entrepreneurs would potentially take that step to create a job because of the Affordable Care Act. And so we're not just talking about, you know, 11.4 million Americans' healthcare. We're talking about opportunities for economic growth. We're talking about, you know, opportunities for people who formerly had or sort of stuck in a job to take the initiative and create an opportunity and potentially create more jobs for more people.
Wow. Powerful stuff. We'll see what happens. Chris, thanks so much. Appreciate it.
Thank you for having me.
Thank you. All right, and we head to the mailbag because many of you had stuff to say about the Supreme Court and affordable health care. So on that note, let's check the email.
You have mail, mistress.
There's one from Simpson who says, "Hey, Kate, appreciate the fact that you ran up to Washington. Also like the fact that you're peeling back a lot of different layers. I have to tell you, I've heard you say that in your family it's kind of a split deal between pre-existing conditions and then unaffordable health care. And that's kind of the way my family falls. On one hand, I have a kid that had a pre-existing condition and it was clobbering us. So that veil was lifted. That was a good thing. But then my premiums really rocketed. And, of course, the deductibles are just unaffordable. And I think this is where the squeeze is and the rub. As you've mentioned, it's the middle class that really gets sawed in half here. Something different has to take place in D.C., one would hope, right? I love that, one would hope, right, at the end of that. Yeah, one would hope. But, you know, this is we know that it's just like immigration. They're two hot potatoes that get tossed around. So the bill gets pushed through, and Democrats will tell you, well, you know what, we had to get something through, and then we could parcel it all out. And now in pulling it all out, there, it hasn't been a come together of Republicans and Democrats saying, okay, well, let's rework this, or let's have a committee on this, and let's try to do this. No, that didn't happen. Here's another one. This one from Will, who says, Kate, to me, it would be a crying shame to get rid of those subsidies. I do have to say it conflicts with what you would say my ideology is. I'm a staunch conservative, so because I did not give you my last name, you can't really over-identify me on the air. But I do not like the Affordable Care Act. However, I don't think that you can take away subsidies where people had crippling debt, could not get to a doctor, desperately needed them, and these are working people who just can't afford the crazy amounts they're being charged. I don't see how you throw them under the bus. There has to be another way to rework this and redo it. Well, they haven't been thrown under the bus yet anyway. We'll see what the ruling is. And here's the other part of that. Other people will be thrown under the bus because, once again, if you're in the middle class and you're already griping and already seeing what's happening with health care, then if the subsidies go away, if the health exchanges went away, and you saw there wasn't enough resources and people dumped out, what does that do to everybody else that's insured? Well, we're going to get clobbered again. And that, as it was explained to me several times, so wherever you fall on the spectrum, there'd have to be something else in place. You know, Senator Ted Cruz talks about it, but what is it? So, yeah, that has to happen. All right, here's another one. This one is from Alan, and he says, Kate, long time, no talk. Promise I'll call the show in the near future. I love it. You stole that line from someone else. And he says, I'll tell you what, this whole Hillary Clinton thing is unbelievable. It's unbelievable because why wouldn't she just take, why even put yourself in a controversial situation since she knows she's a lightning rod for that? Why not just have the government assigned email address, especially because she's releasing all the emails? So she's saying, take all the emails. You can find them all. I don't care. There's nothing nefarious here. So why wouldn't she have just taken the address? Why wouldn't she have just done that instead of keeping it private in her own personal account? Yeah, it's strange. I mean, it's strange from the sense that, okay, so now you're the Secretary of State. Here's what we do. Here's our protocol. Here's the thing. Boom. I mean, why? Why? And why would you create that? Why would you create that for yourself? Well, here's what I think. I think that she did it and the Benghazi thing happened and then the examination of the emails and then what servers are they on and what's the address? And then that eventually the New York Times, instead of going on the angle of all the Benghazi emails, said, well, wait a second, what about this email address? And so they had that bingo moment, like saying to themselves, oh, something's not right because this isn't normal procedure. So this is pretty big scrutiny, a big microscope that she's under right now. It's certainly the biggest since the whole Benghazi thing. But I still think that they weather it, you know, the whole private rather than official thing. There's a way to step around that, and I think that's what will happen, frankly. I don't see that becoming a bigger controversy. I really, really don't. All right, stay with us. Much more coming your way next here on ATN.
This alert just came in. This special announcement is for business owners and leaders of organizations who've been waiting for the right time to build. General Steel has made it impossible to wait any longer with rock-bottom prices that could save you thousands. That's right. General Steel, America's leader in pre-engineered structures, is offering buildings at prices you will never see again. Don't miss these prices. A 50 by 100 for $35,000. You heard right. That's 5,000 square feet for $35,000. Manufacturers, if you need a larger building, try a 100 by 100 commercial building for $129,000. You can't afford to rent with these prices. Imagine a 70 by 100 foot church building for under $69,000. With the economy improving and interest rates still at historic lows, you can't afford to wait. So call 866-91-STEEL. Lock in your price now. Call 866-91-STEEL. That's 866-917-8335.
We live in a complicated society. Stressful issues are always popping up. Have you ever been treated unfairly by someone? Have you ever been overcharged for a repair? Have you ever signed a contract or a document? Worried about identity theft? How many times have you been in those unique situations where you just wanted to call an attorney to find out if you're right or wrong or what your legal rights are? But every time you think about calling an attorney, what do you think about first? That's right. Who do you call and how much will it cost? Our friends at Legal Shield have found a solution. With a nationwide network of 6,900 attorneys who average over 19 years of experience, Legal Shield's law firms take over 40,000 calls per week helping their members. For less than $20 per month, you can have access to Legal Shield on everything from the trivial to the traumatic. Let Legal Shield stand up for your rights at lsprotection.com. That's lsprotection.com. Or call 855-340-SAVE. 855-340-7283.
Results will vary from case to case.
By now you know that wireless technology like cell phones do in fact pose dangers to the health and privacy of everyone. Lockheed Pocket's wide range of products are unmatched in providing the protection you deserve. No scare tactics, just common sense. LockheedPocket.com offers quality American-made options to alleviate and eliminate these invisible dangers. Learn more at LockheedPocket.com or call 888-315-9618. LockheedPocket.com, enhancing health and privacy.
Are you hungry for delicious, nutritious, rich, and satisfying home-cooked meals? Discover the Vita Clay 4-in-1 Smart Organic Cooker. Unglazed Zeesha Clay, an ancient secret that makes this fast multi-cooker so special. Infusing your food with incredible flavors, perfect texture, vitamins, and minerals for your good health. It's a slow cooker, rice cooker, a steamer, plus a yogurt maker. Go to VitaClayChef.com and enter promo code RADIO20 for 20% off at checkout. That's VitaClayChef.com.
I walk along the avenue. I never thought I'd meet a girl like you. Meet a girl like you. With all the hair and all the eyes, the kind of eyes that hypnotize me through. Hypnotize me through. And I'm so far away.
Coming up, we're going to get a Fruits and Nuts credit and bingo here on America Tonight. A couple of quick things, though, to tell you about. I mentioned Hillary Clinton and the email scandal. I think it's a scandal, though, that dies out, but especially because she's saying, well, we'll just release all the emails, trying to quell all the furor over that. And even if there's some kind of a legal challenge, again, I go to the Teflon thing, having just been in Washington and had a few conversations about where Clinton stands. And, you know, it's about the war chest that you have to raise to be president. And when you're talking about $1 billion, you got Bush and you have Hillary Clinton. And the inside track, despite everything that we just saw at CPAC for the Republicans, the early money still is on Jeb Bush. Still is on Jeb Bush. So, you know, how about that? And also, too, because some of you are telling me about your woes with the snow and the ice mix cop, who is just a stone's throw away in New Jersey from where I grew up, maybe a cheesesteak runaway. He he let us know, for all of you in the tri-state area, that snow is coming. Rain is turning into ice, then snow, 4 to 8 inches until 2 o'clock in the afternoon. They say 100 million people are in the path of the snow and the ice mix. I got out of one mess to just put myself in another mess, so I know exactly what that's like. At the Reagan Airport, there were so many people scrambling, and I talked to a couple and another guy and somebody who sat next to me on the plane, where they had all changed their plans, jumped on whatever plane they could get on, because they wanted to get out of D.C. to go wherever they were going, knowing that the flights were all going to be canceled. And at Virgin Air, they told me, yeah, we already know. We know it's happening, but we can't officially call it because, of course, that's the airport and whatnot. But we've seen this action before, and it's going down. I mean, they made it, but it's like, yeah, I'm just telling everyone, if you want to get out, you just get on whatever flight you can get on. And so that's exactly what people were doing. And this in the East Coast, they're seeing that. In Texas, they're seeing the massive ice winter storm. So it's pretty bad. Heavy snow, ice, flooding. They're talking about in some parts, Interstate 95, stay off that. It's like being on the luge run already. They're talking about how awful that is between Washington and Philly and all those places in between. All right, so now it's time for Fruits and Nuts, Shred It, and Bingo. Bingo! All right, this is where we officially usher in my pal Nathan Reeder, the technical maestro of America tonight. Hey, Nathan, how are you?
I like that Reedo. It reminds
Rito's
me.
Cool.
I should be like a Star Wars character or something.
I just changed your name for you. I love it. Okay, so you're going to find this interesting. Do you drink coffee, Nathan?
No.
None. Zero.
Never? I
drink
coffee maybe once every year and a half or so.
Wow.
It's really weird.
So good for you. So here's the thing, you know, because some days they tell you coffee is incredible for you, and then other days they tell you, oh, my gosh, don't drink coffee. So the inventor of the K-Cups, I know you know what they are, the little cups that go into the machine where it's individual coffees when you go into restaurants or now or when you go into offices, lots of people have them. It used to be really, really trendy. Well, in a magazine article with The Atlantic, in an interview, John Sylvan, who was the inventor of the K-Cups, said he regrets he ever invented them. He said, I feel bad sometimes that I ever did it. And what's the reason why? He says, because the K-Cups are bad for the environment. They're disposable and not recyclable. He said he originally envisioned the cup-like pouches that brewed a single serving of coffee for offices, where people want different brews, but the technology caught on and exploded, and now in households and everywhere else, that's what you see. So he's saying that more K-Cups are being thrown in the trash, and that makes him feel just disgusted with himself. He sold the company. How about this? He sold the company for $50,000 in 1997. That's how much... That's, I think I'd be pretty upset about that.
That's a lot of cheap garbage, dude.
$50,000. K-Cups are worth so much. And whoever snapped it up, oh, they've made a fortune on it. I mean, just made a fortune on it.
It's yeah, crazy. You know, I looked these up, and I have never really seen that before. But then again, I'm not a coffee drinker.
Oh, they're everywhere.
Yeah.
And they are in individual people's houses. It was a big Christmas gift for people.
You know where I have seen them? In the garbage.
There you go, proving his point that not only did he get gypped because he only got 50 grand for what was really a huge idea, but the guilt that he's feeling over the remorse over the trash. Here you don't even know what they are, but you know you've seen them in the trash. So there you go. All right, here's we go from one guy who could have been a billionaire to a guy who is a billionaire, Microsoft co-founder Paul Allen. Nathan says he's found the wreckage of a long-lost World War II Japanese battleship near the Philippines. He posted images on Twitter. I was looking at them, and it looks like the Musashi, which was one of two of the largest warships in the world. And it was check this out. Only Paul Allen. The discovery was made aboard his super yacht, the My Octopus as part of an expedition that he launched. See, when you have billions of dollars, you say, let's go look for some lost ships. Yeah, let's take the yacht out today.
Yeah.
And let's throw some divers in the water and you get the images up, man. Let's see what's going on. That's what you do when you're a billionaire. You can do whatever you want. And so if you decide I want to find some lost boats, I do. But he did say he's been fascinated with World War II history since his father's service in the Army, and that it's truly amazing and can't believe he found it. And so he did.
Well, that's nice.
What is it? Fruits and nuts, bingo, or shred it?
Bingo. I mean, isn't that what billionaires are supposed to do? Go around the world and... finding stuff and spending their money. Finding stuff, creating stuff, and spending money, right?
Yeah, spending money. By the way, people are jumping into our shredded bingo and all the other things in between fruits and nuts. Dawnfire says, couldn't the K-Cups be made out of recyclable plastic or use the refillable ones? Duh, there's an idea.
Yeah.
I like it.
Bingo.
Bingo. She gets a bingo. All right, so moving forward, how about this? Workers digging underneath a Paris supermarket found thousands of skeletons holding hands.
Ooh.
The gross... Ugh, I know, that's creepy. Seriously, I saw a picture of it. It freaked me out. So it was part of a cemetery for the Hospital of the Trinity, and it operated from the 12th century to around the 17th century. They're conducting carbon dating and DNA testing to figure out when and why the people died, because clearly they died around the same time. What's surprising is the bodies were not thrown in the graves, but were carefully placed there in an organized kind of manner.
Well, see, I could imagine that happening over course of time, too, but...
Well, and think about this. Paris had a lot of plagues. They had epidemics. They had smallpox. Exactly. They had outbreaks in the 17th century. So that's probably what that's about. They found a couple of common graves in that area, with 5 and 20 skeletons each. And they found all these. I mean, how freaky is that? You're just digging underneath and then you find all these skeletons. Ugh.
Awesome.
I don't know. That would make me kind of feel creepy. But hey,
it's like the start to every Bones episode.
Yeah, exactly.
You take out the normals who are just doing their jobs, and then all of a sudden, horribly scary, decapitated skeletons plop on someone's face.
See, now everyone's jumping in on this too. So Harmony says they drank the Kool-Aid. I don't think so. I'm going to say bingo. Hey, pretty cool. They found skeletons. Why not?
Sure.
What do you say?
Sure. Bingo. Bingo shred it. Bingo shred it. You know,
all right.
Dead people. Shred them.
We end on a shredding note. Yo, yo. Thanks for listening to the show.
Complain about your cable bill going up and up and up. Do something about it. Grab a pencil and jot down this special number. 1-855-905-MY-TV. The more cable TV rates go up, the better digital satellite TV looks. Say goodbye to the cable guy and get more of your favorite channels in 100% digital quality for less money. Call 1-855-905-MY-TV. Sign up for packages starting as low as $19.99, and there's no equipment to buy. You get free HD TV upgrade, a free DVR upgrade, and free professional installation. You control what you watch when you watch it. Record your favorite shows. Pause and rewind live TV. Even skip the commercials. Watch local channels too. At just $19.99, what are you waiting for? Pull out your major credit or debit card. Call 1-855-905-MYTV. 1-855-905-MYTV. Say goodbye to the cable guy. Cut costs and get more. 1-855-905-MYTV. 1-855-905-MYTV.